Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's been a year since Hurricane Harvey hit the Gulf Coast of Texas. That storm triggered devastating floods in Houston, killed at least 82 people, and caused an estimated $125 billion in damage. KUT's Jimmy Moss has been reporting on the recovery in towns along the coast where Harvey made landfall between Port Aransas and Port O'Connor. He is with me now here in Austin. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello.
So you've been to Rockport and some of the other small towns on the coast. How are people there doing 1 year later?
Well, just to give you a little bit of geography, Rockport is basically the first major population center that the eye hit when Harvey came ashore. So kind of bore the brunt. And it's actually Rockport's sort of shorthand for Rockport and Fulton and these other little towns that kind of string along the coast there. But what Rockport is at this point is still in recovery mode. They are anticipating this is going to be a 3 to 5 year project as far as like getting everything back online. And a lot of officials there understand that people are still trying to live their day-to-day lives, and not everyone gets they still have issues with insurance. They still have issues with FEMA and other things. So a lot of people have just had to make do along the way. And this started even in the first week of the storm. There's Samantha McCrary, who was a caterer. She had a catering business. Her business was leveled by the storm. And she was sort of left with wondering what to do next. And she saw a need, and she started cooking for people in her lawn. And then people started showing up with supplies, and they were like, where can we put this? And they were like, she said, okay, put it here.
Right on her lawn.
Yeah, on her lawn. She has 3.5 acres. They just purchased the home last summer. And then she said, put it here. And then she needed – people started volunteering, and they didn't have a place to stay because there were no hotels. There's nothing to go to. So people started camping on her lawn. And then that's where this whole thing started, the Rockport Relief Camp. Let's listen.
We had 12 or 14 tents full of volunteers. Well, then we have these people showing up, and they're like, you're letting people camp here? Well, these are volunteers. Our house was completely destroyed. We've been staying in our car. Oh, well, I guess y'all can put y'all in a tent here. And before we knew it, we had 100 people living on the property.
And there are still people living there today.
And she is trying to wind down that portion of the Rockport Relief Camp, the actual people staying on her lawn. But there's still, 1 year later, 9 people staying on her lot.
Does she get help from the federal or state government with this camp?
Well, there's not a lot. Like I said, she's the person that people go to when they've fallen through those cracks, when they can't get state and federal help. So what she has received is a lot of help from others. So she gets goods delivered to the and she doesn't know what they are. They're just going to come in a pallet. And sometimes they are interesting and usable, and sometimes they're not. Like, she showed me one pallet of Sunless Tanner that was dropped off on her lot. But she has raised thousands of dollars, and right about mid-September, she realized when the money started really coming in that she needed to really firm up this legally. And so she created a nonprofit so that they could be above the board and, show where everything goes and be transparent.
You mentioned insurance. There were a lot of people who were affected by the storm who were uninsured or underinsured, or even people who have insurance, but they're still having trouble getting it.
Yes. You would think that if you were insured, great. I'm okay.
Right.
Well, even those with means, the storm was indiscriminate. So, people with means were hurt. People without means were hurt. And people with all the resources in the world, like city governments, are still toiling with the city of Port Aransas is still trying to get its emergency services up, its fire station, its police station, its EMS. And they're just having to look at the old buildings. They're staying in trailers next to it so that they could prove to insurance that there was a loss.
I want to ask you about the shrimp industry, which is very important in some of these towns. You spoke with a woman who runs a bait shop. This is Stephanie Huang. Let's hear from her.
We got a business bill back up, but I have to get my bait, my shrimp, everything from some other people. And that make it hard for me, you know, this year. But I still thank God, you know, we okay.
How's the shrimp industry doing?
Well, the shrimp industry as a whole has been consolidating over the years. Bigger boats with more freezer capabilities have been sort of displacing these smaller shrimpers. A lot of these legacy shrimpers, the Vietnamese families that came over after the fall of Saigon and settled along the Texas coast, a lot of them have been squeezed out or forced to upgrade their boats. This was the final blow for Stephanie Wong's husband. He might still shrimp, but their boat was severely disabled. They were finally able to get it fixed, but he is now fallen ill and their future remains uncertain.
That's Jimmy Moss of KUT checking in on people who were affected by Hurricane Harvey 1 year later. Jimmy, thank you.
Thank you.